happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. This is the Empowerment Hour today. Vitamin D can help improve headaches and protect against inflammation in the migraine. This is a randomized clinical trial from Tehran University of Medical Sciences. So when a lot of people have headaches, they'll like this. Also today, and I don't know how long it'll take, so I won't know if we have time for anything else, but I'm going to share a brand new article, a very scholarly article, very in-depth article. And that's because I believe that many activists in this audience will be able to use this to their legislation, to their legislators, to the media, to the pro-vaccine skeptics and critics, that you have legitimate interest where science is on your side, not theirs. We're going to prove that the major scientific bodies, including the World Health Organization, the CDC, the FDA, U.S. Public Health Services, have all given you misinformation when it comes to vaccine safety and efficacy. How am I going to do that? I'm going to use their own words. All of my articles are scientifically vetted for proper scholarship and accuracy and legally vetted, so feel free to share it as much as you can. The title of the article is Vaccination, the Ultimate Junk Science. But we begin with the latest on health and healing. According to news reporting on this, due to the anti-inflammatory effects of vitamin D3, there was an effort to see whether or not they could impact people who had all the time, sometimes daily, migraine headaches. And so they used vitamin D at only 2,000 units or placebo for 12 weeks. And the reports obtained, quote, the research from the University of Medical Science in Tehran, quote, at baseline and after the trial, headache characteristics were determined using diary serum levels of interleukin-10, interleukin-6, inducible nitric oxide synthesis, etc., and it found that the group using vitamin D3 substantially improved the outcome of having a migraine. One more thing to add that can make a difference. From Lund University in Sweden comes a study that shows that low blood sugar is capable, if you're diabetic, meaning lowering your blood sugar, or pre-diabetic for that matter, with broccoli sprouts. It actually reduces the risk of type 2 diabetes. And that's pretty good, because that's just one single item into your diet, and you can actually sprout broccoli yourself. It's very easy to have broccoli sprouts. It takes about 7 days. Inexpensive. You can make a whole tray of it on your counter. So the Swedish medical team says they have found a natural way to lower blood sugar and battle type 2 diabetes, and you can eat the sprouts, put it on salads. I won't recommend juicing it because there's not a lot of juice in it, but it was able to lower the blood sugar levels. That's good news. But that's not surprising, because all of the cruciferous vegetables lower blood sugar naturally without any negative effects. And that's because they contain sulforaphane. That's a sulfur. And it was taken just once a day for 12 weeks. And so it made substantial improvement in them. In addition to broccoli, they also found that Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, and cabbage could do the same thing. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal of Science Translational Medicine. So trying to help yourself if you're a diabetic or pre-diabetic, have a pint of sprouts put into your regular salad each day. From Psychology Today, how power walking enhances cognitive performance. Why do so many successful people take long walks to get their best thinking done? Well, according to them, the effects of outdoor stimulation and walking were separable. Walking opens up the free flow of ideas, and it's a simple and robust solution to the goals of increasing creativity and increasing physical activity. And that's what they found. Blood flow to the brain, what is called cerebral blood flow, is increased when walking, and that's good. Cerebral blood flow is crucial for cognitive performance. And the study said, quote, results indicate that prolonged uninterrupted sitting is healthy desk workers reduces cerebral blood flow. That's bad. However, this is offset when frequent short-duration walking breaks are incorporated. That's good. So, walking around was found to promote positive effect in emotions. One time, someone stopped me in Center Park. This goes back many years. And said, what am I doing? They were running pretty much side by side with me for about 4 miles. And I said, I'm dictating. And they didn't see that inside my jacket, I had a little portable tape recorder. So if you didn't know that, you'd think, you know, Gary's lost it. He's talking to himself. But I was, and that's how I write. I used to sit and do writing on a notepad. Then I just found it became more free flow when I'm running or power walking. And since I can go out and sometimes do 10, 15 miles at a time, I can write a lot of material. And you seem to increase your capacity for creative thinking when you're exercising like that, uninterrupted, non-distracted, not with music going in the background in a gym and a lot of people. But when you're out there like Tom Courtney in Loneliness, the Long Distance Runner, it's just you and the environment you're in and your mind. Open that mind and liberate your thoughts. So it increases concentration. It increased energy levels. It enhances creativity. It improves mood and reduces anxiety. That's what power walking can do for you. Separately, from the University of Otago, which is New Zealand, weight loss and healthy improvements with a Mediterranean diet and fasting. So we have been talking about that for some time. Intermittent fasting is very important. And I'm going to do a whole program on it, the whole hour, on an upcoming show, so everyone who wants to try it can. And I'll start you at an entry level, so it won't be a traumatic experience, but you can get some major benefit. Improve your metabolism, better night's sleep, gain muscle mass, lose body fat, especially the body mass index around your waist. So it's all good. From the Institute of Cellular Biology in Taiwan, omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acids suppress metastasis of the human bile duct cancer cells. That's good. And it did it at a statistically significant rate. So how much were they using? Not a lot, 2,000 milligrams. So that's just one of the things they found, but they found that it was especially the DHA that was able to inhibit proliferation and metastasis of the cancer cells by inhibiting the expression of enzymes in the body. One more reason to take your omega-3 fatty acids. From Lancaster University in the United Kingdom comes a study why eating yogurt may help lessen the risk of breast cancer. So one of the causes of breast cancer may be inflammation triggered by hormonal bacteria bacteria that can influence hormones, and it's harmful. Scientists say that their idea was to give the body something that was known to be anti-inflammatory. This was published in Medical Hypothesis, and hence it was a hypothesis. And they said it was simple, inexpensive, and capable of preventing some conditions. Now, they suggested a ferment of milk, mammalian milk, not breast milk. And I'm saying it's not the dairy. It doesn't matter whether it's fermented into the most tart, which is the buttermilk, or in any other form. What you're really doing, you're getting the benefit of prem probiotics. And that, in turn, helps your microflora. And that, in turn, can help, if mothers are having good bacteria, to enhance the bacteria in their own breast milk that then becomes the natural inoculation for the baby. Hence, every time a baby suckles at the breast, they're receiving a natural immunization. So that's important. And otherwise, you have lactose-fermenting bacteria. They're commonly found in milk and are likely to occupy the breast ducts of women during lactation for an unknown period of after lactation. So if you're going to have a yogurt, I suggest you have a non-dairy yogurt. They have yogurts now made from coconut and other, like rice. So you don't have to have dairy because a lot of people can be allergic to dairy. They're suggesting 10 billion bacterial cells in the human body, and I'm saying it's a whole lot more than that. And it all is related to what you feed. If you feed healthy, clean food, free of toxicants and overprocessing, you incorporate even more good bacteria. If you eat junk food, and we all know what that is, you promote, and that's the progenitor for the toxic bacteria in our intestines. Meat, sugar, and alcohol, refined carbohydrates, are the four leading reasons, and the sugar in those refined carbohydrates, for bad bacteria. And you don't want bad bacteria. And stem cells, which divide to replenish the lining of the breast ducts, are influenced by the microflora. And certain components of the microflora have been shown in other organs, such as the colon and the stomach, to increase the risk of cancer. So this also is a way of helping to diminish those particular types of cells. By the way, I have a paper I'm writing now. It's a part of my longevity study, and in that study, I cite what is now a hypothesis. We're going to try to see if we can find a blood workup that will identify it specifically, but if not, there is compelling evidence from hundreds of studies of what can create stem cells, young stem cells, in the body based upon a healthy anti-aging protocol. So we're working on that. So quite simply, all the juices you're taking and the healthy foods, the exercise, the intermittent fasting, it all helps with keeping your telomeres longer. That's good. And it helps produce stem cells. That's even better. From Warsaw University of Life Sciences, Newcastle University, comes an article published in the British Journal of Nutrition saying that in this very large study, they found antioxidants, vitamins and minerals, are substantially higher in organic food. Well, well, to all those people who were saying organic and GMO are fundamentally the same. No, they are not. And this is just the largest, most recent study just published yesterday in the British Journal of Nutrition. So check off one for all of you eating organic produce. You're getting better food, cleaner food, healthier food without the pesticides, and more antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals in your organic produce. So says this study. Quote, this is from the Journal of Environmental Research. Organic diet intervention significantly reduces urinary pesticide levels in U.S. children and adults. One more reason to go organic, because you don't want the neonicotinoids or the 2,4-D exposure, all the chemicals that are sprayed on our produce in the United States. Curcumin improves memory and mood, so says UCLA, and the twice-daily supplement boosts cognitive power over 18 months. This was published in the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. So for all of you who've been using curcumin, good for you. It's that dish that we find, the Indian dishes, of which there are thousands, that have that bright color. That's the curry. But it improves your memory and mood in people with mild age-related memory loss, according to the study. So all that is terrific good news. And finally, from the University of Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, comes an article about more vitamin D improves blood pressure and insulin sensitivity in overweight children. So if your child is overweight, one thing you can do is make sure they're getting vitamin D, because it can help them. And that could help a child from going into a diabetic state. And that's important. Oh, by the way, from Jinling University in China, there's an ingredient in black tea extract that alleviates amyloid beta peptide toxicity. That's what is laid down when you have Alzheimer's. One more piece of the puzzle. Black tea helps people with Alzheimer's. That's the latest on health and healing. We are 16 minutes in our program. We're going to take a short break and come right back with a special, in-depth, original investigative report. I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world. I'm Gary Nall. And by the way, we had a research effort to show us where people are listening to this program. And you would just be amazed at how many people are listening in India, Ireland, all over the world. So that tells us the issues that I frequently post every day, about 50 to 75 different posts on my own personal Facebook, but also on PRN.fm, to connect things that are happening in your country that from a progressive point of view. That's one of the reasons we had 12 million people visit in the last 12 months just to read our unique articles, which is the only place you can go to get a full spectrum of information on everything that's important from a progressive point of view. Vaccination, the ultimate junk science. Richard Gale and myself. For over a decade, the debate over compulsory vaccination, especially for children and more recently for adults, has centered on a single premise. World-leading vaccine experts, including those at the CDC, our universities, and the international organizations such as the World Health Organization, are unanimous that there is no longer any controversy over vaccine safety and efficacy. All vaccines, we are told, have been proven, either individually or in combination, and this has been thoroughly researched in clinical trials, so they say. This absolutism within the medical and pharmaceutical communities, including the American Pediatric Association, also argues that they are the sole experts, because they have found no reason to question the virtues of vaccination. Neither should you, nor the media, nor the public at large. Therefore, the debate is closed. This story is over. Keep moving, please. nothing to see here. If all risks and injuries are denied outright, then there's simply to be no discussion. What are you going to talk about? Consequently, a covert national campaign has been underway for many years to discredit and attack anyone, irrespective of their credentials and professional background, who question, even in the mildest of manners, or challenge, with complete scientific validation on their side, this ideological dogma. To do so is to be targeted as a threat to public health, even a criminal. There is a Dr. Matej Crnić, a lecturer at the School of Advanced Social Studies in Slovenia, and she writes in her book, Ideological Constructs of Vaccination, quote, unjustified hatred is fueled by state and medical institutions and their spokespersons with the enthusiastic help from the media, end quote. Historically common infectious illnesses such as chickenpox, measles, and mumps, which were regarded more as a nuisance rather than as a national health emergency, have been intentionally reframed. Ah, now they're just not an infection. They're a deadly disease. The only reliable course of action, therefore, is to reach full compliance with the vaccination schedule. But missing from this argument is the fact that the large majority of people who reject this propaganda were originally pro-vaccination. They willingly had their infants and children vaccinated in the innocent faith that the medical system was honest and held their children in their best interest rather than a mere source for profit. The increase in autism, starting in the mid-1980s, was largely believed to be genetic, and this myth continues despite the serious biological gaps to prove that such a correlation is scientifically sound. Despite all the CDC's claims, the Institute of Medicine released a report in 2013, but I'll bet you didn't read it anywhere. I'll bet no one was on CNN, MSNBC, Fox talking about it. I'll bet you didn't see a single headline. Institute of Medicine, that's the government's official medical group. And what they stated was that the CDC's childhood vaccine schedule was never studied for safety. Hold on a second. That's not possible. You couldn't be vaccinating hundreds of millions of children over the last, 30 years and doing it without any safety studies. Let me repeat this so we're very clear and unequivocal. The Institute of Medicine released a report in 2013 stating that CDC's childhood vaccine schedule was never studied for safety. As far back as 1991, the Institute of Medicine has persistently urged the Department of Health and Human Services to conduct such studies. Well, then how can the government and its agents and agencies say with absolute certainty they're safe? How can anyone say they're safe? Where are the safety studies? And they're saying they weren't done. We wanted them to do it. We encouraged them. We have all the correspondence. They just didn't want to do it. Why? What were they afraid of discovering? What we did not know until more recently is that during those intervening years, the drug companies that were most invested in the vaccine businesses, such as Merck and Glaxo, supported or funded campaigns and AstroTurf groups to destroy the reputations of physicians, scientists, journalists, and parent activists who made efforts to probe more deeply into the medical literature. It has largely been the citizen activists, or the scientist activists, or the physician activists, and they are the rare doctor scientists who have gathered all the pieces of the puzzle together in order to confirm that vaccines are far more dangerous than the hype the federal health agencies and professional medical associations would have us believe. In the wake of rising vaccine-related injuries and deaths, more and more voices are coming forth to awaken the public about the lies and deceit in the vaccine industrial complex. Websites devoted to vaccine injuries, accompanied by scientific validation, are increasing. Barbara Lowe Fisher at the National Vaccination Information Center, attorneys Robert Kennedy Jr. and Mary Holland at the Children's Health Defense, doctors Brian Hooker, Sherry Tenpenny, Teresa Deischer, and Suzanne Humphreys are adding a new dimension to the debates because they have taken the time to study carefully and with detailed scholarship the scientific literature. Now, mind you, they're all scientists and physicians. Now, I've interviewed all of them repeatedly, and I've asked, how many hours have you spent? The average is more than 15,000 hours. Yet they were all pro-vaccine. Not today. And do you ever see them being in a debate? Never. Nope. And you're not going to. They try to debate the people out there who are pro-vaccine, but those people know that they would lose. And each of these individuals has arrived at a similar conclusion. There is absolutely no gold standard to support vaccines' effectiveness and safety that has ever been conducted and published. This is a simple truth, yet a hard pill to swallow for those who naively believe the propaganda spewing forth from the general media, especially the New York Times. There was a time when I read the New York Times. I don't now. There was a time when I watched MSNBC and CNN. I don't, haven't, won't. I see no purpose to it. It's all biased. And yet these are smart people. They're well-educated. Most of them at some point in their life have done some decent, honorable work on the subject of vaccines, on 5G, on GMOs. No. No, they're on the wrong side of this. But there's no consequence to being wrong when you're in power. During the past several years, we have witnessed a nationwide effort across all state legislatures to mandate the CDC's vaccination schedule, as well as vaccines that remain only recommended, such as Merck's Gardasil vaccine for human papillomavirus. This may eventually include any of 250-plus new vaccines currently in the pipeline. Now ask yourself this. Do you really believe that manufacturers would create 250 new vaccines unless they had some assurance from politicians, from the heads of agencies like the CDC and the FDA that have always been complicit with Big Pharma, that they'll end up in children's bodies? Do you think that any of these individuals would take responsibility personally if they ended up causing death and dysfunction in millions of children? Well, we have millions of children who right now are suffering the consequences that these people have done. Yet not one person in the government, not one, ever comes forward and says, you know something, I screwed up. I'm smart enough to make good decisions, and I made a bad decision. I opted for power. I opted to go to work at Merck, heading their vaccine division. I opted and just fill in the blank of how much money. And so that became more important than children's lives. So that's what we're witnessing today with this ever-increasing schedule and the push for mandating, so you'll have no choice. And you'll be shamed in the process. You have powerful organizations that lobby. Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America would not be so thorough and aggressive unless there was an assurance that a viable economic market is in place for all those vaccines. In effect, the federal health agencies, notably the CDC, Health and Human Services, in collaboration with legislative associations such as the American Council of State Legislatures and the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, are clearing the playing field of constitutional barriers and restraints that protect the freedom of an individual's parents' healthy choice. Vaccine makers have already succeeded in destroying many regulatory hurdles that otherwise guarantee rigorous scientific oversight of vaccine safety and effectiveness before licensure. Such organizations, such as the Immunization Action Coalition and its National Network of Immunization Coalitions, the IAC is represented by a literal who's who of vaccine extremists like Dr. Paul Offit, Walter Ornstein, Gregory Polin, and the godfather of modern vaccines, Stanley Plotkin. What the public hears from our federal and state health officials and parroted by the mainstream media networks is the propaganda of fake science. Repeatedly, we are told that vaccines are safe and effective, that unvaccinated individuals pose a public health risk, that parents who don't vaccinate their children are irresponsible and threaten the health of others, and that there is no association whatsoever between vaccines and autism. However, as we've reported consistently during the past 10 years, and what is becoming increasingly clear is that public pronouncements contradict what these same medical experts and health officials say privately behind closed-door meetings. On yesterday's program, we played you verbatim statements from the world's leading vaccine experts, all showing doubt, all showing that they knew that the studies on safety were not done. But somehow down the road, after the bodies pile up, then they'll know whether that vaccine was good or not. That's atrocious. The pharmaceutical industry and its CDC are perfectly aware about vaccine serious adverse effects and their causes. They know the dangers of aluminum adjuvant toxicity or human-boarded fetal cell lines, and especially when small children receive multiple vaccines during a single doctor's visit. Since over $4 billion of injury compensation has been paid out to victims and families due to vaccine-caused injuries, the establishment has been forced to acknowledge that vaccines can cause life-threatening neurological damage. Nevertheless, the severity of the vaccine threats is muddled with medical word salad, a confused mixture of platitudes and deceptive misinformation that mask the real underlying problems. Consequently, our medical system, and especially our vaccination regime, behind states' mandatory vaccine laws, is a doctrinal ideology. Quoting a text on the sociology of ideology by Slovenian scholar Erjevic and Polar Kofiak, Cernik notes that, quote, the task of ideology is to protest or protect certain practices as universal and self-evident. So its role in complementing economic and political power is priceless and irreplaceable, end quote. Here's what Cernik says, quote, one of the most successful strategies of maintaining dominance is presenting ideology as common sense, thus concealing the ideology of individual claims. Medicine become the guardian of truth, the forum where absolute and often final judgments are given by experts. These experts are regarded as morally neutral and objective, delivering their judgment in the name of health. Thus, the power of medicine is a social construct based upon the dominant ideology of scientific research and expert knowledge, end quote. While ideologies become solidified and institutionalized with the full cooperation between government and industry, falsehoods inevitably take precedence over truth. For example, the arguments against concerns over aluminum adjuvants lies without firm scientific confirmation. We are told adjuvants are safe and harmless, but the science is irrefutable that aluminum salts used in vaccine adjuvants are neurotoxic. There are thousands of studies in the peer-reviewed literature. We have them. We've read them. So how is it we can find thousands of studies on aluminum, polysorbate 80, formaldehyde, which is embalming fluid, and mercury that have been in vaccines and find that they all are genotoxic, immunotoxic, pro-inflammatory, and neurotoxic? And the New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, the FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization, can't seem to find those. Wonder why? That the amount of aluminum in vaccines is equivalent to that in the food we eat, that's what we're told. 0.25% dietary aluminum is actually absorbed into circulation, whereas vaccine aluminum adjuvant has a nearly 100% absorption. So let's get this right. If you ate some sardines and you had aluminum it would be 0.25% of your dietary aluminum is absorbed. The rest is not. It goes out of the body. But 100% of the aluminum in a vaccine is absorbed right through all of our protective barriers, and it stays there. And that infants get more aluminum from breast milk than from vaccines. That's what we're told, but it's a lie. The total amount of absorbed aluminum from breastfeeding when an infant reaches 6 months is 55 micrograms. Okay. Yet the total amount of aluminum from vaccines during the same period of time is 2,750 micrograms. Let me see. Let's weigh this. The scale of scientific justice. 55 micrograms from breastfeeding, 2,750 micrograms from vaccines. Yet they lie and say they're the same. They're not. Here's a better question. Is anyone working for any federal agency or any state legislator capable of telling you the truth, completely, unequivocally, without concern of how that truth may impact them? Interesting question. It has been the historical case that when dictatorships and repressive governments enforce policies that violate individual freedoms, the popular backlash, which may include its own independent intelligentsia, reveals the persecutors' hidden agendas and darker motives contrary to the preservation and protection of the public good. It is therefore not surprising that following California's passage of its draconian vaccination legislation to remove religious exemptions, mandate the CDC's vaccination schedule, and make efforts to replace the expertise of physicians with state bureaucrats as the final arbiters of medical exemptions, there has been a notable rise in oppositional voices and publications pulling back the curtain on the stench of corruption that pervades the entire vaccine complex. The vote was close. It could have gone in either way. I was invited by Bonnie Faulkner to be on her program for an hour to talk about vaccines. I had prepared all of the scientific literature showing why those vaccines being mandated should not be given. I also was able to find out how much money each one of the state legislators in California who were going to vote for that legislation had received from pharmaceutical companies, including vaccine makers. Clearly a conflict of interest. And I thought that broadcast over KPFA Pacifica station in Berkeley with a strong signal, that might be able to influence the people who were undecided or not truly aware of all the nuances of the argument to come forward and vote against mandating it. But typical Pacifica in general, and certainly of KPFA specifically, Bonnie Faulkner was banned and our show did not have a chance to air. And yet this is the same group of people who yell, "We represent freedom of speech." No, you do not. Pacifica, you are completely out of sync with the rest of the world of broadcasting. Maybe that's why you're dead last in every market and you have no audience and you have to beg for funds because of poor programming, poor management, ideological, completely wrong mindset. So we'll never know whether or not that hour could have caused a swing. But they don't care. They don't care about anything. So what is being uncovered is revelatory, with the potential to utterly collapse the pro-vaccine doctrine. In fact, the CDC has made a concerted effort to whitewash and cover up its tracks. For example, legislators such as New Jersey State Senator Steve Sweeney have publicly stated there are no aborted fetal cells used in vaccine production. Sweeney said, quote, "The reason why there are religious exemptions was because back in the 1950s and 60s, they used fetal tissue to make the vaccines. That was the reason why. They don't do that anymore. They don't," end quote. Really? Why don't you step down and step aside, Senator Sweeney? Because clearly you're out of touch on a lot of different issues. But people who are the most powerful people in the state never step aside. Speaking before the California State Subcommittee, the lead sponsor of the mandatory vaccination that removed religious exemption, this Senator Richard Pan, said, quote, "Vaccines are not made from aborted fetal cells. That is a myth," end quote. but these statements are egregious lies. Pro-vaccine poster child Dr. Paul Offit has publicly addressed the question about aborted fetal cell lines by replying, quote, "Yes, there are a few vaccines made this way," end quote. And during a 9-hour sworn deposition during a vaccine-related child custody battle, Matheson versus Schmidt, Plotkin was forced to recant his earlier answer that only two aborted fetuses were used in a vaccine development study he conducted. After being presented with the actual paper he personally authored by the interrogating attorney, 76 aborted fetuses were used to harvest tissue for fetal stem cell cultures to grow the virus. That was just one study. On an earlier FDA page of the CDC's vaccine excipient and media summary document listing individual vaccine ingredients that was captured by vaccine opponents, the agency included various forms of aborted fetal and human tissue, including, quote, human DNA in the DPT, hepatitis A, MMR, rabies, varicella, and zoster shingles vaccines. These cell cultures, along with WI-38, human diploid lung fibroblasts, are necessary for replicating viruses in the medium for manufacturing these vaccines. However, last year, as controversy rose over the use of MRC5 fetal cells, the documents vanished. They were replaced to list only the excipients, therefore by removing all references to MRC5 and WI-38 cells. Such cells, as well as other foreign DNA found in vaccines, have been implicated in likely contributing to the increase in autism spectrum disorder. In an article published in the journal Issues of Law Medicine, the authors note that, quote, healthy human cells can take up foreign DNA spontaneously. Foreign human DNA will be transported into nuclei and be integrated into the host genome, which will cause phenotype change. Hence, residual human fetal DNA fragments in vaccines can be one of the causes of autism spectrum disorder in children through vaccination. And by the way, one of the authors, who you heard yesterday on this program, Dr. Theresa Deischer, a world-renowned adult stem cell scientist, pro-vaccine, who discovered adult heart stem cells during an earlier testimony before Minnesota House Health and Human Service Committee, quotes an FDA scientist or scientific paper published in the journal Biologicals. And the FDA states, quote, the dangers of residual DNA in vaccine has been debated for over 50 years without appropriate studies. So you don't have appropriate studies, yet you're using something there that could influence people. Wow. And that's how it goes. I am one half through our article, and that will be it for today on this topic. However, the full article is now on Progressive Radio Network, and along with all of our nearly 50 articles on Wicked Wikipedia. Download them, read them, educate yourself, share them with people. The key is sharing with other people. That in itself is a strong act of action from activist mindset. So make sure that you share what you read. The article is entitled Vaccines, the Ultimate Junk Science. Back in a moment, and when we come back, we're going to play some people's response to completing a health retreat. I think you'll find this interesting. I haven't heard it yet. Heard there's some interesting people. Back in a moment.
Sympathy, I don't mind, 'cause you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg, and you know it. Please don't leave me, girl.
Not taking time for myself, but I have always loved people and helped every way I can. And the message that was coming very loud and clear is, I cannot give what I don't have. And before coming up until the 12th of October, I could only walk a few feet, and I was very depressed. When Richard, my husband, and Gary wanted me to come for 2 weeks here, I wasn't sure that I can do it because I thought the world will stop if I'm not around. But actually, everything is going fine without me. It's my problem is I love to give, and I am actually not able to receive. This has become an issue, and when I came 1.5 weeks before coming, I was getting joyous and feeling hopeful and positive because I'm coming here. And when I came here, I met Gary, I met his beloved team. I met amazing human team, the animal team, the nature. They all greeted me with open arms. And I was opening slowly my heart, my being to receive. And it's one of the most beautiful things to do is to receive, because for me the gift of giving was receiving, but to really receive, I started traveling when I was 28 in 1990, and I lived different parts of the world 11 years. My five siblings and their families are in four countries, but travel, so I don't see them often. I saw my brother from Canada when he drove to New Jersey when I lived there after 15 years. So wherever I am is my family. But I felt at the abode I live, I have community and family. But being here these 10 days, I have lost 21 pounds. I have healed spiritually, physically, emotionally, metaphysically through sacred food cooked with amazing loving compassion by the two amazing chefs. And Gary is a Sadhguru. What he does, million human beings, million lives, cannot be done. I know this because I stood when I was three. I said, I stand for justice and equality. And I have studied in Catholic convents. I used to go to Mother Superior's office even when I was 3 feet to speak for others. I did this in corporate offices, storming into conferences, rooms. I'm only 5 feet and now shrinking, but who counts? But here to receive this love in so many ways, from the moment we wake up, all the program parts, till we go to sleep, we are loved unconditionally. The food, the programs, the lectures, the wisdom Gary imparts is planting seeds. And when we, each of us, go into our families, go into our communities, we are also showing through example, touching others with this information. This is priceless. We cannot put a price for what Gary's doing. So I was a vegan 2007 when I found out certain things going on, came back to New Jersey, and life happened, and I didn't become vegan anymore. I am going back. I told Richard the second day I'm here, I'm coming back being a vegan, gluten-free. I am waking up 5:30 and carrying on this. I am learning to love myself, and I am loving myself as my purpose in life is to serve seva for all sentient beings. And I want to come next year. Somebody said there's no more retreats. Whatever it is that Gary's doing, I want to come volunteer. And my wish for Gary and team and everyone is may they be protected, guided, blessed. For Gary, all his thoughts, words, and intentions, all of it is always aligned with his gifts, with his intention, with his purpose. May all of that, in a ripple effect, move through this world and beyond, healing all sentient beings. Thank you, Gary, for this amazing opportunity. I love you.
Okay. That's just one of the people. There were 30 people all gave. And I just heard it as you just heard it. It's always nice to know that someone was moved at a level of their being that allows them to take a new approach to life, a healthier one, a happier one. And that's what these retreats do. Now, the retreat is not the anti-aging program. The retreat is a 1 or 2 weeks in the middle of that anti-aging program, same location, same food, but a different. The other people have very specific protocols, but you do the exercise, you sleep as much, rest as much. A lot of people just need to detoxify and de-stress. And so you can do whatever you want. Lots of lectures, lots of input, counseling, and the healthiest, delicious diet you can imagine. If you would like to come to the retreat, we're talking now about the retreat, not the anti-aging program, then give Luann a call, 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. You could come for one week or two, and she'll discuss it and see if it's the right thing for you. Okay? We'll hear from more people on upcoming programs. Now, just want to mention we have a special for today. Brand new product. I haven't even seen it yet. It just arrived. I was told this morning, your new product arrived. I got a really great one next week coming, but not now. We've been waiting for months because one ingredient was missing. The new product is called Stress Relief. It's a capsule, vegan capsule, and it's got these ingredients for those people who believe that they need a little help in dealing with stress. And so there's two ways this goes. First, you can get the little bottle itself, 120 vegan capsules by itself, or you can get it with a De-Stress Naturally award-winning documentary showing you all the different ways, step by step, to detox, or excuse me, to de-stress. What's in it? Well, you're getting taurine, L-theanine, chamomile flower extract, green tea leaf extract. We're talking about heavy-duty amounts, 200 milligrams of each. Inositol, 200 milligrams. Magnolia bark extract, lychee berry extract, GABA, 400 milligrams there, magnesium, calcium, and vitamin C. That's the formula. So just my suggestion is you just take a couple of these tablets each day, and when you feel yourself getting stressed, take one, just one. You're getting 120 of the capsules. So take what you want. And it's only, you ready for this? Talk about getting something at a great price. It's only $39.95. All right? If you want the tape to go with it, the documentary, the video, then it's only $10 more. That's a big savings. So, you know, just on the tape, you're saving $30. So it's called Stress Relief. Who doesn't need that, right? All natural, and the ingredients are ones I selected based upon what the scientific literature indicated, and I want only the best to go into your body. So it's very affordable, and here's the number you call to get Stress Relief, the capsules, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. Now, earlier last week, I offered the brand new product Detox capsules. So that's still available. This is here today, just arrived today. And next week, we're going to have the biggest of them all. We've waited a year to get this in. And now it's coming in, I'm told, next week. So very excited by that. That's the new nitric product, but we don't have that up yet. It'll be in. But this is Stress Relief, and I believe a lot of people could benefit from this. 877-627-5065. Now, in the remaining minutes, I want to tell you where we stand. I believe we're almost full. I believe there's only one or two spaces left for the March 22nd, 60 days in residence at a magnificently beautiful place down in Texas. We're going to have some staff coming back, but also we've had a lot of requests to see, can we give opportunities to other people like chefs? We've had outrageously good chefs, Michael and Cindy and Leonard. You just don't get better. I'm very pleased with them. But also I believe in giving new people a chance. We've had repeating people say, hey, I'm a vegan chef, give me a chance. All right, call Luann if you want that chance, because we're opening up for some staff positions and she will be interviewing you. Now, this is a little confusing, so let me lay it out. We just finished a major study. I've read some of the responses from some of the world's leading authorities on anti-aging science, medical doctors and PhDs. They say that this is not just remarkable, but the most unique, unprecedented study ever done. No one's ever done a study like this, the detail and the commitment and the discipline. And it showed in the results. The people had magnificent results. But they also said that the heart of science is reproducibility. So you have to reproduce giving the same identical protocol with a new group of people administering it, and then other people using the results, you know, calculating results. And if you come back to the same outcome, then you've created something that's never been done in the history of science or aging, and it'll revolutionize the whole field. Okay, that's our challenge. So I'm going to be there again. Now, during this will be the retreat. That's a separate issue. Those people don't have to be on the same schedule. In fact, they can be as relaxed and do as little or as much as they want. Everybody else has to do exactly the same thing with me every day. I'm there at 4 in the morning, and I'm there till midnight. We're all going out on the road together at 7 o'clock. You have all your juices, which are special number juices made from special ingredients and special foods, special exercises, special in-depth examinations of life issues. And so then we'll measure the difference. So we only have two places left for people on campus. However, we've probably had now, as of yesterday, Luann said we had over 100 people call yesterday, 1,000 people would like to come but couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford the airfare, couldn't afford the hotel and the other things because there are expenses associated, even though I supplemented a lot of it out of my own pocket, a huge amount. So what we've done is this. We're creating what we call a control group, and this was at the suggestion of one of the scientists, who's one of the observers to this study. So a person's not going to be there at all, but every single thing done, they will be watching every day, because we have a whole team of cinematographers led by our chief cinematographer, Roland Marconi, and Jody and others who will be, Vivian, who are going to be there filming everything in real time. So every workshop, every lecture, everything is going to be then immediately downloaded to that person's computer. So you're going to see everything, hear everything, plus we do a briefing prior to this happening so everyone knows exactly what to expect, and therefore it's going to be minimally expensive. I mean, a great, great savings. Therefore, the vast majority of people could afford it, and then you take your blood before and after, and a huge saving on that, huge. Like 90%. And so you will be monitored every single day by Phil from our office, and he'll be downloading the results that you're getting each day. How do you feel today? That goes down. What's your weight today? How many exercises did you do? How did you do in each exercise? For 60 days, we do everything in real time. So two different groups of people, one on campus, one at home, both have the same identical protocol, and then we see, do we have the same results? Now, theoretically, we should have the same results. Maybe we will. I don't know. We're going to see. But at least for all of the hundreds of people who could not afford, we only have space for 40, and that's what we need. That's what the number they said we need. So if you want to be a part of the people in this anti-aging historic study, you'll give Luann Panessi a call, and Luann's phone number, again, so you can be a part of this. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. But remember, calling Luann today, you can call her for the retreat, where there's no schedule. You flow through a day, spending as much time as you want in the butterfly hut, meditating with nature, watching the swans on the lake, playing with the guinea hens, having great meals and juicing, exercising, artist healing, counseling, lectures. Or you're either on premises for 60 days, or you're at home as a control group for 60 days. On premises and home. You have to define to her. And if you're at home, you do not come down there. All right, because that would bias the study. So you got to do the full 60 days at home. Only serious people should apply, and we'll see what the results are. So give Luann a call, 903-881-7008. It's going to be a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. There's a lot of humor. People relax, they de-stress, but boy, way do you see their blood chemistries. It is phenomenal, the changes that have occurred in people. I mean, just one of the guys who's one of the best-known medical doctors in America and PhDs in sports medicine said that he couldn't have believed, unless it was filmed, and we filmed everything, that people 94, 90, 95, 80, 72, 71 could have done these. He said, I would not have believed it humanly possible. He works with Olympics, and yet we did it. No one believed we could do it. We did it. We set the standards. Now we have to verify it's reproducible. Your chance to join us, either from home or from on campus, 903-881-7008. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.